Take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. Also, in case you didn't know this, you can just ask your smart speakers. One day I'm going to learn how to say smart speakers, and it's going to be a glorious day for me. I might throw a parade, might do a cartwheel. You can ask your smart speakers to play ESPN Radio, and it gets you to us, fortunately or unfortunately, some days. Wow. Presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear on the show, Pentel Performance Line. I'm Jason Fitz. Let's get you started with some headlines that you need to know. Got some coronavirus headlines because it's a day that ends in Y. So we'll let you know at this point, a small number of Cowboys players have tested positive for COVID-19, according to multiple sources. And a source says a few Houston Texans have also tested positive. Agent Rocky Arsenault told NFL Network the Pro Bowl running back Ezekiel Elliott tested positive, but is feeling well. None of the Cowboys players have been at the Star during the offseason per league rules. The team's been in constant contact with players. The club does have an infectious disease consultant on its medical staff. A source said one Cowboys player had flu-like symptoms late last week, but was feeling better. All the other players tested have been asymptomatic. So at this point, we just know that some players have tested positive. Next up on your headlines, you need to know, Lamar Jackson is fine. Don't worry about it. The Madden curse has not kicked in, at least yet. NFL MVP Lamar Jackson fine after tumbling over a jet ski in a video posted on social media. A source said Monday in the video, the Ravens quarterback is running with a football on the beach, collides with the parked jet ski, falls headfirst into the water. The source said Jackson was not injured. Thank God for everybody involved. He's going to be just fine. And lastly, not going to be just fine, Iowa football. Dealing with controversy of their own, Iowa has reached a separation agreement with longtime football strength coach Chris Doyle. The school announced that on Monday. The agreement was signed Sunday. It is effective immediately. Doyle had led Iowa's strength and conditioning program since 1999. He was placed on paid administrative leave June 6th after a large group of former players spoke out about mistreatment in the program. Most of the allegations came from black players centered on Doyle. Some players also made allegations towards head coach Kirk Ferentz, several on-field assistants. Remember, Doyle was the nation's highest paid strength coach at $800,000 annually. He gets 15 months salary, equates to two payments of $556K, and his family will receive benefits from Iowa for the next 15 months or until he receives new employment. Those are your headlines that you need to know. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, ESPN App, SiriusXM, Channel 80. We're asking you guys to chime in. Get in on the fun. Get in on the conversation. Some NBA players are not comfortable at this point with the concept of returning, not for COVID-19 reasons, although that will be part of it for some. But the reason specifically we're talking about is that some players are worried that a distraction is not what this country needs right now. That being part of a distraction actually takes away from important conversation. So I want you guys to chime in on that. 888-729-3776. What are your thoughts? Pennzoil synthetic motor oils made from natural gas get you unbeatable engine protection. Proof is in the Pennzoil based on sequence 4A test, wear test using SAE 5W30. We'll hear from one of my favorite guests that we have on the show next about thoughts on this. But before we get there, I want you to hear from Stephen A., Max, and Jay Williams talking about whether or not they agree with players against the return of the NBA.
Racial strife can't be the reason you don't go to work. You go to work. If you're Kyrie Irving, who's making $31 million this year, there's a whole bunch of people that ain't going to make that kind of paper. You're also going to have a residual impact that's going to have dire consequences from a financial perspective. And then when you talk about actually protesting or whatever, I don't recall one instance where we've heard anyone associated with the National Basketball Association, all the way up the chain with Adam Silver, that prohibits you from being active in the fight against racial oppression. Your social media pages, your willingness to protest and things of that nature. Let's face reality. We don't expect Brooklyn to be playing for so long. And oh, by the way, Kyrie Irving was going to be playing anyway because he got injured in March and he's out for the season. You've got a whole bunch of folks that still have the freedom to go out there. You go to work and you can still protest. You can still make contributions. Like Austin Rivers said, the money that you generate, what you can put into those coffers. And I'll regurgitate the point that I made earlier in terms of contacting the NAACP Legal Defense Fund or anybody like that who've already put in the groundwork that can take those actions that you
I agree with that
to
part,
elevate
Stephen
the
A.
profile and bring attention and then make sure that they can go about the business of addressing your concerns. There are ways to do it and still go to work. That's my point.
Look, one thing is a misunderstanding. I don't mean the players have more leverage in future negotiations with the league through doing all this. I'm saying they have a kind of a cultural leverage at the moment. It's an inflection point right now, and it's unusual. It doesn't usually exist. So people like Dwight Howard and Kyrie Irving are talking about leveraging that moment, not giving it up, not playing games, not going back to business as usual. See, things are normal until things get more normal for black people. And by the way, when you talk about legislation and stuff, yes, of course, they can be working on things like a federal law where if you turn off a body camera, you know, a police turns off, that's destruction of evidence, things like that. There are all kinds of things that can be worked for, and it's not mutually exclusive. You can work on parallel tracks. Look, the coronavirus, Stephen A., black people are being all affected disproportionately. Like, there's an overlap here between the coronavirus and the Black Lives Matter issues. There's tremendous overlap, and it's creating that moment. So when you say, racial inequality is not a reason to not go to work or hasn't been, largely that's because at times there wasn't a sense that that would actually do anything, or that the risk was worth the reward, or that people would be so like-minded everywhere that maybe it would actually work in spite of the risk. And so I think now that's changed. And as to your point, Jay, then I'll give it to you, that Kyrie's already getting $31 million this year, but he'd be giving up the rest of his money this year. Kyrie, Dwight Howard, everyone would be putting their money where their mouth is. Ultimately, I agree with your analysis. I think for some of the reasons you pointed out, they're better off even doing what they claim they want to do by going to work. But I have to check myself constantly and say, wait, is that just convenient for me? Because I'm a basketball fan. I have to check that impulse. And I think the player's antenna is up for that too.
Well, let me say this before Jay chimes in. You have to check your impulse as a white guy, and I respect and appreciate that. I'm not knocking that by any stretch of the imagination, okay? I'm a black man. I'm going through the same thing that they've gone through. I've gone through the same thing that they've gone through. I've been poor most of my life. I don't give a damn about some recent contract. The first 48 years of my life, how was I living? The bottom line is that as a black man, you know what we go through. We get it. But at some point in time, it ain't enough for the apologies. The apologies, the heightened level of sensitivity, and we get it, we hear you, we understand. I'm talking about action. Action. And guess what? Protesting is one element. Finishing the job is another. And that's what we need to highlight, and that's what I'm talking about.
Max, I wanted to quickly respond to your point, because I watched the first block too. And what I would say is that, you know, when you're talking about Kyrie, who's accumulated close to $100 million in his career, same with Dwight Howard, accumulated more than $100 million, you know, putting their money where their mouth is one thing for them. But how about the bottom portion of the league where, you know, look, we were on the boardroom with CJ McCollum, and I asked him directly, how many players you think live paycheck by paycheck? And he looked at me, he said, probably around 80%. 80%. So if I look at the NBA as a vehicle that has generated life-changing legacy wealth for a lot of African Americans, Michael Jordan is an owner in the league because he played basketball. It's a huge provider for black people. It is, right? With the other jobs that they can take from there, reallocating money to then purposely put that money, reallocate that money back into communities, things of that sort. And so if you decide to boycott because you're looking for a change until things go back to be better for black people, what does that mean? Like what threshold does things need? Black people, I understand we have significant room for improvement, but what are the standards that we need to abide by in order for things to go back for guys to play? That's something for players to think about, to think through, right? Strategically, tactically. And then I will say this, even if you are able to find those standards, what kind of repercussions will that have long term for a league that has provided a lot of wealth for black people, right? What happens to the CBA? What happens to earning for future generations that are able to come in and to support their families and do things within their communities? So it's a trickle down effect that doesn't just preclude to just, you know, Dwight and Kyrie, but the future of a lot of black people that earn their wealth in that department moving forward.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. And this has got to be a very conflicting time for players in general, because as I say all the time, they're human beings. We forget that just because they make a ton of money to play a sport that we love, we suddenly want to hold people to a different standard, when in fact they're still human beings trying to figure out how to navigate not just COVID-19, but incredible emotional times due to the outrage at this point and sort of a different message and tone in this country. So how to do that from an athlete standpoint feels incredibly difficult to figure out. So now on top of all of it, trying to figure out what does the best for the cause that you believe in and for where you think you are right now is incredibly difficult to figure out. Again, these are all human beings trying to figure these waters out. And that's why I think, as Woj reported this morning or spoke about this morning on Golic and Wingo, I don't think there's any one blanket answer for all NBA players. Some might be comfortable with others. Some might be comfortable with returning. Some might not. Some might be comfortable with distracting. Some might not. So to get some more insight on it now, we're going to the Shell Penzo Performance Line. The Undefeated's Mark J. Spears join us. Mark, first and foremost, I had you on the day that all of this shutdown was happening. And at the time, you gave a great idea for home court advantage where, you know, each team would bring in a DJ. And I just want to tell you, I've spent months stealing that idea from you, and I still haven't been able to give it any traction. I mean, I have tried. Wendy shut me down on it last week, said it would be another risk for COVID-19. I mean, I've gone all the way up to try and make this happen, but every time I give you credit for it, so I just had to be transparent about my thing.
One, you don't need to be asking Wendy about music, one. two, there's going to be two phases to it, right? I mean, two stages from what I heard in terms of media or you know, so you'll have media that are in a bubble, and then you'll have media that are going to be allowed to enter the arena just for games and observe. For example, the Warriors DJ is in the upper deck when he plays during the game. So I actually still think it's a great idea that you bring the DJs in if they're willing to do it, or bring a couple and the players from that team could tell them what they want to hear, and they could be upstairs, not even near anybody, playing their music and helping the environment. Another reason why you would want DJs is because you don't want to hear what those guys are saying during the game. Well, the NBA doesn't want you to hear that. So one way to drown them out is to play music. And that's a story that I don't want to say this too loud because I don't want to give no other media any ideas. But one story that I've wanted to do is like the difference in the music you hear in the arena from city to city. Going to Oklahoma City and going to San Francisco now, formerly Oakland, for a game, or Atlanta and New Orleans versus Boston, like the music is completely different. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like even you go to San Antonio, you might hear mariachi music. Oakland, you're going to hear rap only. Atlanta, rap only and R&B. You know what I mean? Boston, I might hear a rock song, Pour Some Sugar on Me or something like that. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just kind of interesting from place to place, but if you allow the DJs from each team to come, they could play something that's unique to that team, to the city that they're playing.
Well, I'll text you after this the number of pitches I've made that involve music in the NBA to our bosses. I'm trying, man. I'm trying. But, I've at least every time I give your idea out to every affiliate on what should be happening when I do phoners, I'm always like, hey, I'm stealing this from Mark J. Spears. So at least I give you credit. That's all I can do. You've got an article out on The Undefeated right now titled, If the NBA Players Sit Out This Season, Will They Miss Their Best Opportunity to Be Heard? Give me your thoughts on where, you know, the NBA, how the NBA should address this issue.
Well, I'll start off by saying I heard this from an NBA player once, and I forgot who said it. But they said that once I stopped playing, nobody listened to my voice anymore. So I think if the NBA players are really, 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 really want to continue to push the message of Black Lives Matter and racial injustice and fighting against police brutality, what better way to do it than during the NBA season, where for 2.5 months, you're now in front of media who actually want to tell these stories that are maybe they were scared before. I mean, I was one of the ones that was never scared to write about it, but most people, media, were either nervous to write about it, uncomfortable writing about it. Now everybody's open-minded. So you have a listening media. You have the ability to do things during the game to keep the world going, wearing Black Lives Matter t-shirts on the bench or in warm-ups, or calling the court, I can't breathe, floor or George Floyd Memorial Court. There could be so many constant reminders that they could do during a game, things they could put on their shoes, the things that, you know, the advertisements that flip during the game that you now you're seeing in soccer right now. Well, what if there's a fund that the NBA wants to advertise to try to get people to help? You could force the NBA to do what the NFL did in terms of money and tell them you wanted to go to certain charities. Like, they have so much power that they could have with their voices, what they could push the NBA to do. They could tell them that they want PSAs to play, public service announcements, the first half, second half on the radio and on TV. There's just so much they could do for 2.5 months on a daily basis with their voices to keep it alive. And I worry that if they don't play, that people will be distracted or not care what they have to say or be angry that they aren't playing and won't listen to what you have to say. But if you have a worldwide audience that's bigger than it's ever is going to be because of Corona for 2-3.5 months, you can force feed people your message that if you want to watch basketball, I don't care if you're a racist, you're going to have to hear this through the course of this game. And so I just think there's a lot of great they could do in terms of continuing to beat the drum by playing in Orlando.
We're talking to the undefeated Mark J. Spears, and I find it interesting because so much of our conversation on the NFL side has been, does it become divisive for locker rooms if everybody's not on the same page with some of these issues? For the NBA teams, how do they handle it if locker rooms internally don't all see the issue of whether or not they should play the same way?
In terms of voicing about social injustice and police brutality, I can't see NBA players not being on the same page. In fact, if you were not on that page, you probably would be viewed as an outcast amongst the players. Now, if they're worried about the coronavirus, I get it. You don't want to be there because you're worried about getting sick. I understand completely. Anybody that doesn't want to be there because of that, I get it. But I don't see the NBA being divisive either as a league in terms of those social causes, because this isn't Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf's NBA. This is a different NBA where you have a commissioner that ended Donald Sterling's reign. You have a deputy commissioner, Mark Tatum, who's been on amazing on diversity and inclusion and in trying to bring coaching staffs and front offices to become more diverse. So you have a willing league that wants to help you with this message. It's not the NFL. If I'm the NFL, that's a whole different conversation. But I can't see, maybe the owners like behind the scenes could be a little reluctant, some of them, but I can't see them being like, no, we're not going to support our players in this movement, in this message. I think if the NBA does it, I mean, the players do it with the NBA. It's the most sympathetic league. And they could also build the direction in which other leagues can follow, that they could pass the torch to, that those other leagues could, Major League Baseball could say, hey, NBA's doing this. We want this too. NFL could do the same thing. WNBA, Major League Soccer. I think the NBA has always been in the forefront of race talk. And they could influence leagues all over the world with them having the strongest message.
So let me play devil's advocate and just think, like, if I'm a championship team and I'm right on the cusp and it looks like, hey, this is it. I play for the Lakers, right? And LeBron says, hey, we should play, and everybody's going out there. Just this make-believe scenario, I understand. But if a player within that roster just doesn't feel like it's the right thing to do, I mean, is he free to then step up and say, hey, I don't think we should be playing for distraction purposes, so I'm simply not going to?
I mean, I think you have to respect that. Everybody has their own opinions. Everybody has their own feelings. And I think you have to respect that. Everybody's not going to agree. Perhaps it's a team decision, but we'll see who doesn't want to go, whether it's because of the coronavirus or because they feel like the message will be muted. But what you do is, instead of worrying about the message being muted, make sure that there's steps before you even step foot on Disney World to ensure that it will be belayered, not just talked about, belayered. And I think the Players Association and the players itself are in a position to make that happen, where perhaps that player, it might be hard for them to say that their message would be muted if the NBA is giving them all kind of things in order to enrich it.
That's really well said, Mark. And, you know, the thing that you echoed there was respect. And that's part of, I think, the conversation that seems to be different, whether it's between players left to right or players and owners from the league. There seems to be a mutual respect in the NBA that the rest of the leagues just can't get figured out. Man, as always, I appreciate your insight, your time. We're going to make this music thing happen some way, somewhat.
Yes, sir. Look,
it's going to be your job to handle all the details.
Hey, but just know I'm here. Let me know who you want. I'm friends with a lot of NBA DJs. Let's get them on the air with you to talk about what benefit they could bring to Mickey Mouse. Okay.
Oh, we are doing that. You can book that. Like, that's getting done 100%. I appreciate it. Go check out the article he's got up right now on the Undefeated.
DJ D Sharp from the Warriors. Let me know. I'll have him on with you tomorrow if you want.
Oh, yes, we will figure it out. I'll shoot you a note. Yeah, heck yeah. I think it's a great conversation, Mark. Appreciate your time, man. Great stuff from Mark Spears right there. Check out the article on the Undefeated. If the NBA players sit out the season, will they miss their best opportunity to be heard? ESPN Radio presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com. Greg Popovich had strong comments towards Roger Goodell. I know that sounds weird when you start going sport to sport, but he did not mince words as always. The question is, was he right? We'll let you decide and you'll hear what First Take had to say next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests and you can hang out with us on the show. Benzo, Performance Line, chime in on whatever you want. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It's a Monday. What can I say? We're going to start with some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Now, I don't know if this is Straight Talk, but the response is, remember, I'm going to take you back in time to a little over a week ago at about 4:30 in the afternoon when a video was posted by Roger Goodell speaking on behalf of what the NFL has not done and what they could have done better. This is a little bit of what Roger Goodell had to say.
We, the National Football League, condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people. We, the National Football League, admit we were wrong for not listening to NFL players earlier and encourage all to speak out and peacefully protest. We, the National Football League, believe Black Lives Matter.
Now, that continues with more Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. And this time, it comes in the form of Greg Popovich, a coach that's never hesitated to speak his mind. And he did so in part, this is from him with the New York Times. Here's his quote. A smart man is running the NFL. And he didn't understand the difference between the flag and what makes the country get great. All the people who fought to allow Kaepernick to have the right to kneel for justice. The flag is irrelevant. It's just a symbol that people glom onto for political reasons. That is the Greg Popovich quote. Now, that's obviously going to cause reaction from many of you. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Also, though it created reaction from Stephen A. and Max, was Popovich right about Roger Goodell? This is what they thought.
I don't believe that Greg Popovich is right because, believe it or not, Max, I think far more insidious intentions need to be attached to Roger Goodell in this situation. And I've never said this before because I don't know if I've ever felt this way before. But in light of what has transpired over the last couple of weeks, I see something far more insidious on the part of Roger Goodell. And that's why I disagree with Greg Popovich, because Greg Popovich is saying that a smart man, didn't handle things accordingly. I would say Roger Goodell, a legitimate argument could be made on this day that it was intentional. And I'm here to tell you right now that as we sit here today, the person that I have to give props to, Max, don't fall off your chair. Molly, don't fall off your chair. The person that I have to give props to is Eric Reed, the man who has knelt beside Colin Kaepernick. and the man, obviously, who's continued his protest. Now, I never approved of him confronting Malcolm Jenkins on the football field. I just thought that that was a level of belligerence that he should not be exhibiting. But make no mistake about it, Eric Reed is a warrior. Eric Reed is intelligent. And on this particular day, I step back and I defer to him. He deserves our praise. Here is why. If y'all recall, Roger Goodell and the NFL wanted to partner with the Players Coalition. They wanted to finance it. Essentially, that gave the impression with the $89 million they had initially donated to the NFL Players Coalition, led by Malcolm Jenkins, Anquan Boldin, those guys, good brothers, hearts in the right place, doing good things. But nevertheless, by the NFL partnering with them, essentially, you wanted to give the impression, as a league, we're giving at the office. What happens? Conveniently, you've now reached a new 10-year labor agreement, the new CBA that you agreed to until 2030, ensuring that there won't be any labor strife for another 10 damn years. So you could say what you want right now, but well, who cares? Because ultimately you got what you want, which was that new collective bargaining agreement while Colin Kaepernick is still out of a job, even though I still believe he should have showed up to the tryout anyway and handled his business there. The George Floyd situation certainly helps him right now, but we didn't know this was going to happen, at least to this degree, where it would spark all of these protests and what have you. So Colin Kaepernick obviously looks good right now. But Eric Reed is the key. And here's why. When Eric Reed spoke out against the Players Coalition, accused them of co-opting the movement, understand what he's talking about now. If the NFL Players Association had jumped at it and tried to represent Colin Kaepernick, remember when Colin Kaepernick filed that grievance against the NFL owners? At that particular moment in time, because of that grievance he filed, he was able to get depositions from some of these guys. You get depositions as the Players Association. You could have utilized that with the CBA negotiations. You could have got a better deal, or you might not have had a deal yet, which would have further empowered you at this particular moment in time. But because you didn't do that, thereby forcing and incentivizing Colin Kaepernick to go handle his business on his own, he's one individual that had to go up against the NFL, which ultimately led to him settling and them being able to continue to ostracize him in the event that he wasn't willing to capitulate to their demands. If you're Eric Reed essentially was telling us that. And as I sit here today and look at the videos of Roger Goodell talking about, we hear you, we understand, we get it, Black Lives Matter, we're with you, and all of this other stuff. Well, you said it now that you got the agreement. But Eric Reed said this before there was a CBA agreement. And so I got to sit back today and say that Eric Reed, I got to back up and bow down to this brother and say, yo, you got it. Because Eric Reed, even more so than Kaepernick, Eric Reed, with what he was saying, clearly was on top of his game when it came to it. We wouldn't have known it had all of this not happened. But because all of this has happened, and because we've seen the reaction from the National Football League and how receptive they are to everything at this particular moment in time, Eric Reed today looks like a brilliant brother, and I gotta stand down and say, yo, props to you. He had a point. Again, I don't like him showing up to Malcolm Jenkins on the damn football field, but his points cannot be disputed at this moment in time.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I would say that it's going to take more time, and I don't mean for change. We all know change is going to take time. I mean for context. When we look back at this era and we try and figure out where change was initiated, what actually helped us get where we are, how change was accomplished, there are going to be several different moments that I think are key. What we've all witnessed in the world over the last few weeks since the passing of George Floyd has been so incredible and so powerful. And as I've said to many stations across the country, I don't think the genie gets put back in the bottle. I think that this is out and America is changing in front of our eyes. And that's not an easy thing. It leads to a lot of anger. It leads to a lot of yelling. It leads to a lot of difficult conversation. It's a little like therapy. If you've ever gone through therapy, it's not the most comfortable thing in the world, right? So it feels like that's what we're going through as a nation. We're trying to figure out therapy and how to get right. Now, what we want to do in this moment is declare who should get the credit for it and who should get the victory for it and who the real winner is, because we live in that sort of a society and we're charged that way as sports fans to want to find a winner and a loser. Now, I understand that the narrative has shifted substantially over the last couple of weeks and months for many people that maybe didn't understand the situation of Colin Kaepernick the same pre-George Floyd as they do post, right? So many people are changing their minds. But as we try and look and figure out who the great victor is from all of this and where the great initiative for change comes from and all this and how everybody played their part, the one thing that it takes is patience. You have to have full context to understand who we're going to suddenly turn around and give the credit to. You don't get to write the book, review midway through the book, unfortunately. And that is what I said often. The most difficult thing about sports talk is that we as hosts and you as fans are constantly trying to write a book review after every chapter. And guess what? Every chapter leads to a change in the book. Every chapter leads to a different understanding to what we've seen before and a different presumption for what we'll see next. What we've seen is a massive shift in the NFL's mindset, at least on paper. Now, what that means moving forward, we won't know until we have more time for proof of action. We won't know until we can see if those words are backed up. Sure. But for today, in this moment, we've seen a different tone from the NFL. And part of that comes from Colin Kaepernick. Part of that comes from Eric Reid. And as difficult as it is to praise him, part of that comes from Roger Goodell, somebody I haven't been quick to praise in the past. But Roger Goodell came out and made a statement. Now, what's going to happen from that statement, where that statement goes, what the NFL is going to do to back up those statements, those are all fair and reasonable questions. But until we see that, until we know for certain what the next steps are, I don't think we can know exactly what we're looking at. And as much as we as a society want to quickly suddenly say, now it's all worth it, I would remind everybody, that it oftentimes takes years, takes a generation to get context around the moment that we're living in. And this particular moment is going to take context that I'm not smart enough to write. And whoever does write it is going to help us understand who gets credit and what they get credit for. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Coming up next, this is dangerous for me. I know this. One of the smartest people in our network said something that I absolutely, positively disagree with. And it's about the New York Knicks. So I'll debate the points, and you'll hear it next. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We've let you guys chime in. We're going to get, I'm about to have a debate with one of the smartest people in our network. So I'll delay it for a second, let you get a little of your take. And David in Dallas, you want to share your take on some of what you've heard today. What's your take?
You know, I don't think that anybody should have to protest their own way. I think for the first football game that comes out, they should have somebody standing, they should have somebody kneeling, and they should have somebody burning the flag, because everybody needs all three in their life. That's what our country is about. Yelling at one person because they protest differently than you or revere the flag more than you, get a color of solidarity or something you can put on their uniform, like a melting pot, a sea of colors. And everybody wear that unilaterally and do whatever the heck you want during the national anthem, because it's your right to. That's the whole point.
Well, David, we'll be interested to see what happens. I've had a few people on Twitter ask me if I think the NFL is just going to not play the anthem beforehand. And no, I don't think there's a win for them. They'll get vilified from both sides. I have more thoughts on that. We'll get to on another day. But I was driving around this weekend and I heard this and I had to go back and watch it on OTL. Pablo Torre, the great Pablo Torre, was on OTL over the weekend outside the lines and gave his parting take on a team many of you care about. This is what he had to say about James Dolan and the current climate and the Knicks. I want to stress the last few seconds of this, but check out what he had to say.
Silence can be a virtue. Silence can mean listening and reflecting, but it can also mean the exact opposite. Jim Dolan was silent for 2 weeks after cops killed George Floyd. He was silent even though the rest of the NBA wasn't. He was silent even though his players on the Knicks grew furious at his quiet. He was silent even though dozens of employees met up to denounce a company-wide email where Dolan internally doubled down on saying nothing. But this week, The king of Madison Square Garden folded. He said something, even though that something was only barely not nothing. Dolan tweeted two sentences, both of which refused to say the words black and police, thereby leaving the victim and the criminal completely unidentified. Quote, every one of us has a role to play in creating a more just and equal society where there is no racism, bigotry, violence, or hate. We stand with all who act for positive change. End quote. Those are the words of a child who was forced to apologize to someone, but still won't say who. So after years of listening to Dolan and reflecting, I have just three more words for him on behalf of my home, New York City, in the spirit of positive change. Sell the team.
And that is where Pablo lost me, the last three words. What he articulated was so beautiful, but I've heard many of you say the same thing that Pablo just said. I have to remind you that through it all, you don't get to tell your favorite owner or your favorite team that the owner has to sell that team. It's just not something you get to do in business. If you go to a restaurant and you hate the service, you can choose not to go to the restaurant anymore. If you don't like the food, you don't get to walk into the owner and say, you know what, the food used to be good here. You sell the team. In fact, I know many people in my own personal life that are part of the LGBTQ community that choose not to support certain businesses. Well, they choose not to spend their money. All right, that's what you can do. That is your power. If you don't like the way the Knicks are being run, take your power into your own hands and choose not to support them. The problem is fandom is so rooted into our blood that we turn around and we say sell the team because that puts the onus on somebody else. Realistically, if you don't like what your favorite team has to say, stop supporting them. Stop asking owners to do what you're not willing to do with your own cash. Through it all, what we want is we want the easiest path. And the easiest path is for our team to win and for our team to be the type of team you can root for with pride. You can have tremendous pride in being able to say, I'm a Knicks fan because you love the team and the owner. And I realize that that opportunity has been lost for you. I've felt that pain as a lifelong Raiders fan that at times had issues later in the life of Al Davis with where the franchise was going in ownership. I understand these issues. I've lived them. And I've said the same thing to my fellow fans. If you're disenfranchised, if you can't stand the way things are being run, if you look around and say, I can't take this for another minute, if you look around and say, I can't believe you said that about these issues, it means too much, stop asking for the team to be sold. Stop demanding power that you don't have. Take the very power that you do have, the voice that you do have, and actually use it. Turn around and say, you know what? As long as James Dolan owns the team, I won't spend another dollar on the Knicks. That is a take I respect the hell out of. Turn around and say, as long as this team is trash, they don't get my money. I respect the heck out of it. Turn around and say, if this team does not reflect my values, I will not wear the merchandise. That takes strength. It takes an ability to let go. And it takes you making the sacrifice as a fan of saying, I won't do that business anymore. But simply standing up and say, selling the team? Sell the team to somebody you don't have the power to make that request to is asking somebody else to do your dirty work. Knicks fans, stop calling for Dolan's head and start taking the responsibility yourself. Thanks so much for hanging out with us this week.